Welcome to winter, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. It's time for Desert Oracle Radio Replay. Maybe it's time you took a hot chocolate and sugar cookie break. And as you do, know that you are listening to KGVM Bozeman Community Radio 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. I'm your host, Roxana. Winter solstice has come and Christmas is at the door. Ken Lane released a brand new episode just a couple days ago from December 19th, 2025. Here is Yucca Yuletide, a desert holiday.
Now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert and it's Christmas time. Or Christmastide, as it was called for so long. Until over time, the word tide became the word time in common usage, which also means tide. Time is Old English and tide is Old Norse. They both meant season or appointed hour, that sort of thing. Could be a festive season or the hour when the sea rose up or decreased from the mysterious power of the moon. Good tidings means good news or Godspell in Old English. Good story, good message. So if Gandalf brings you evil tidings, that just means he heard the bad news and he had to deliver it to you. But maybe he'll be back again with glad tidings when the tide has turned, when things have changed for the better. As for the ocean tides, we don't worry too much about that in the American desert. The water sloshing around the bathtub rings of Lake Havasu or Lake Powell is caused by wind or sudden heavy snowmelt, monsoons and feeder canyon floods dumping rain just out of sight, just up the bend. Or maybe a houseboat ran into you. Or the dam engineer fell asleep on the red button that says drain reservoir. In time, tides became the regular rise and fall of the sea, with the English adding the high and low descriptors, which led over time to the Blondie song, "The Tide Is High." Originally recorded by the Jamaican rocksteady trio, the Paragons, in 1967. Written by lead vocalist and later reggae star John Holt, who had his own hit with a cover song in 1974 when his version of Kris Kristofferson's "Help Me Make It Through the Night" spent 11 weeks on the UK charts, peaking at number 6.
Desert Oracle Radio.
Here in the Mojave Desert, it is warmer than it has been on average these past dozen winters or so. Or Christmas tides, I should say. Unless you're hearing this show after December 21, and then it's officially winter, after the winter solstice that brings us officially into the cold quarter of the year. Very pleasant, even if it's not very chilly. Very pleasant, except for all the weeds growing after our late rains this year. Weeds including the hated goat heads and ragweed. The nights are cool, as they always are this time of year, but not yet very cold. But I bring tidings of new weather to come. For the Yucca Valley Joshua Tree metropolitan area, your forecast for Christmas Eve day is cool and cloudy, with up to an inch of rain and maybe a dusting of snow in the mountains. If we are lucky, we shall awake on Christmas Eve and see the little San Bernardino Mountains that range through Joshua Tree National Park, all dressed up for the holidays or not. We'll know when we know. Christmas Day will be cool and overcast, with some light showers. Mid-40s Fahrenheit on the night before Christmas, with a low of 43 on Christmas Day. And later on that blessed day, or the Friday morning after, the golden sun will break out and we should have a gorgeous holiday weekend in the desert. Highs around 57 with lows, finally in winterland, 38 degrees. So remember, if you have an acre or five full of rattlesnakes and other such friends, bring them inside. If you're cold, they're cold. Now, some parts of our Southwest have what you might call classic Christmas weather. The higher the elevation, the more likely you will see that blessed winter snow. The more likely you will be surrounded by pinyon and juniper, our evergreen friends, home to bird and beast. But even in such lands, you will find holiday traditions that are unique, unknown to those in the Great Lakes or New England or the teeming cities. Let's take the rightly famous example of Santa Fe, which means Saint Fe, or sacred faith. Fe and faith and fate, all etymological birds of a feather. People come from all over to see Santa Fe dressed up for the holidays. People come from all over to see Santa Fe dressed up for the holidays. Some say it's the prettiest Christmas town anywhere. The ancient Pueblos, eight and all, have their winter feast festivals throughout the month. There's snow skiing in the mountains and Las Posadas when the travails of Joseph and Mary are recreated as they travel in candlelit procession from the plaza to the palace of the governors, where everybody sings carols and has some hot apple cider. But this happens early in the month. It was December 7 this year. I missed it by one night last time I did a winter Desert Oracle show in Santa Fe. Maybe next time. You might still be able to see and hear the Santa Fe Desert Choral Group at their annual Carols and Lullabies in the beautiful Cathedral Basilica of St. Francis of Assisi. And then comes the best night of all, Christmas Eve, with the Canyon Road Farolito Walk. We had our Santa Fe-born friend Anna Merlin on the show a few years back, on the Christmas show, describing this lovely pedestrian procession down this narrow, winding residential road where All the houses are done up with decorations and the famed Los Farolitos. A name that should never be translated because candle in a brown paper bag weighed down by dirt just doesn't get to the beauty of these Christmas Eve flickering lanterns. Thousands show up to walk this ancient road, lined as you're closer to town with art galleries and old adobe homes and restaurants and cantinas. Most people are there for sundown or earlier to get a spot, but you can go whenever. Some say the crowds are thin by 8 p.m. or so, but it's sort of fun to be in the slow-moving, good-hearted mob of revelers on Christmas Eve, free and open to all, but there's absolutely no convenient parking. Just walk. They also ask that you leave your massive four-wheel drive baby strollers with Bluetooth and your murderous rescue pit bulls or whatever. Leave them somewhere else. You can bring the babies. Babies enjoy it. But you gotta carry them. It's good for your back. There are similar traditions throughout New Mexico, but the Farolitos are generally called luminarias in the southern half of the state. This is an important distinction to some people, and we should honor such distinctions, I suppose, because it's the only way to save our remaining local and regional traditions, our folkways, our culture. And if you're up by the Taos Pueblo, there's a wonderful Christmas Eve procession with a statue of the Virgin Mary carried all through the ancient habitation, very much as things were done in the 1600s. The procession begins after Vespers Mass in the San Geronimo Church. Ahead of the Holy Virgin, a group of Pueblo men with hunting rifles occasionally fire into the sky ahead to frighten off the bad spirits, to make way for the faithful. So watch out up in the front. On Christmas Day itself, the solemn deer dance is performed. Some years, most years. And sometimes you can experience such things, you meaning a visitor, an outsider, not a member of the tribes, etc. This ritual often involves the sacred clowns, no kidding. If you've read one of our secret Bibles here at Desert Oracle Radio, the Death and Resurrection Show, you know something of these ancient comedians who metaphorically flip the tables. They bring chaos and magic, all to clear the air, to mark the turn of the year. That book, by the way, it has a nickname as it circulates amongst performers, acrobats, comedians. It's called the Clown Bible. Again, not kidding. Long out of print. Like all such sacred events, the things that happen at the Pueblo and the holidays are strictly no technology times. No phone videos for your TikTok, etc. Appreciate these rare moments away from the poisonous air devil devices in your pockets and purses, or too often in your hands. You know what they say about the devil and idle hands. What I mean to say is it's partly cloudy, partly sunny, depending on your levels of optimism for Santa Fe on Christmas week. Highs around 57 with a low of 38 on Christmas Day. About the same for Taos. Just a few degrees warmer in Albuquerque, mid-60s on Christmas Eve and day. And don't forget New Year's Eve in the plaza if you're in Santa Fe. Very cheerful pinyon bonfires in the cold, dry night. Everybody sings Auld Lang Syne and Las Mañanitas. Sneaking a nip from the pint bottle in your coat pocket. And then here comes 2026. In Las Vegas, Nevada, not New Mexico, the holiday traditions are a little different. The mob used to wrap burning Christmas lights around their victims, who were then dropped out of planes, out past the east end of Flamingo Road. The Elvis minister at the all-night wedding chapel wears a Santa hat and he sweats a little bit more. And there are many expensive spectacles that tourists and well-heeled locals buy tickets to see months in advance. Usually tough to see that stuff, but it's been a pretty dead year for Vegas, tourist-wise. So who knows, maybe you can get some last-minute, fairly priced tickets for the extravaganzas. Sam's Town and a chocolate factory called Ethel M. have some interesting and festive holiday displays and activities. I think they have snow of some kind at Sam's Town. And Ethel M., the chocolate factory, has a cactus garden that's all lit up like the Dickens. And everybody says don't miss the Christmas lights and displays at the Bellagio Conservatory and Botanical Garden. Inside the Bellagio, but free admission. I've never been to any of these things, and I imagine any sort of indoor attraction with more than 100 people or so would make me feel a little nervous. How to get out? Where's the desert? As Merle Haggard wrote, every front door finds me hoping I would find the back door open. I think about that line a lot these days. Around Las Vegas and Clark County, days will reach 64 for Christmas Eve and Christmas itself. Windy, but likely no rain. Mid-40s at night, dropping to a low of 33 degrees by Sunday. To see the traditional Las Vegas Christmas colors, drive through a Roberto's at night and gaze in wonder at the guacamole and red salsa on your taquitos. Now let's talk about Tucson, where you can generally expect very mild Christmas weather. Hopefully in that sweet zone between pretty nice out and, come on, 90 degrees on Christmas. That ain't right. 77 on Christmas Eve Wednesday, 75 on the day itself. Mid-50s at night, just perfect. Unless you're a girl, in which case you'll be cold. So bring a stylish winter coat for the Christmas night stroll, wherever it might be. The Winter Haven neighborhood has long been the place for an evening stroll on either night. And there's usually some lively Christmas music played by real people. And vendors of tamales and other such holiday foods. Tohono O'Toole Park, just off North Oracle Road, has a famous local holiday nights program, and the last night for this year is December 21. Again, that's the solstice. Up the road in Phoenix, where I spent several Christmases as a kid, there are some traditions that have mostly faded. One I remember was outside Goldwater's, the big department store where everybody went Christmas shopping. Kids from the Gila Reservation used to set up outside to sell desert mistletoe with its deep red berries, which they gather off the mesquite and palo verdes and catclaw, where it grew on the branches each year. The Boy Scouts used to sell mistletoe, the European kind, at the Christmas tree lots. I guess that has faded as well. But it's not too late to bring back such traditions. If you're in the Arizona desert, just walk out to a wash somewhere and take some desert mistletoe off the ironwood, off whatever tree it's living on. The tree will appreciate it, but you might get cussed out by what they call the silky flycatcher in Arizona, parts of Arizona. That's our beloved crested vanopepla. That's Greek for shining robe. And yeah, we've got desert mistletoe in the Joshua Tree high desert too. And the vanopepla bird just loves it. Lives off the red berries. And then rewards its host by dropping those semi-digested red berries on our cars. Usually the roof. Well, speaking of Phoenix, as we were, if that's where you will be for the holiday week, you are getting a rare blue Christmas, rain on the eve and the day, maybe a half inch total. Mild daytime temperatures of about 74 degrees, pleasant nights around 60. Now, I already read a visit from St. Nicholas this Christmas season on the last episode of the Eldritch Republic. These are the Weird American History episodes that should be appearing alongside your other Desert Oracle Radio episodes. So tonight I thought I'd read a few lines from a man once known as the Poet Ranchman of Texas. William Lawrence Chittenden, born in 1862. This is the Cowboy's Christmas Ball. Way out in western Texas, where the Clear Forks waters flow, where the cattle are a-browsin' and the Spanish ponies grow, where the northers come a-whistlin' from beyond the neutral strip, and the prairie dogs are sneezin' as if they had the grip, where the coyotes come a-howlin' round the ranches after dark, and the mockingbirds are singin' to the lovely meadowlark, where the bobcat and the badger and rattlesnakes abound, and the monstrous stars are winking o'er a wilderness profound, where lonesome tawny prairies melt into airy streams, while the double mountains slumber in heaven kinds of dreams, where the antelope is grazing and the lonely plovers call. It was there that I attended the Cowboys' Christmas Ball. The town was Anson City, Old Jones's county seat, where they raised up Angus cattle and waving whiskered wheat, where the air is soft and balmy and dry and full of health, and the prairies all exploded with agricultural wealth, where lives that good old hunter John Millsap from Lamar, who used to be the sheriff back east in Paris, sir. 'Twas there, I say, at Anson with the lovely Widow Wall, that I went to their reception, the Cowboys' Christmas Ball. The boys had left the ranches and come to town in piles. The ladies, kind of scattering, had gathered in for miles. And yet the place was crowded, as I remember well. 'Twas got for the occasion at the Morning Star Hotel. Oh, come on. Well, let's hear a few more lines. The music was a fiddle and a lively tambourine, and a viola came imported by the stage from Abilene. The room was togged out gorgeous with mistletoe and shawls, and candles flickered frescoes around the airy walls. The women folk looked lovely, the boys looked kind of treed, till their leader commenced a yelling, "Whoa, fellers, let's stampede." And the music started sighing and a wailing through the hall as a sort of introduction to the Cowboys' Christmas Ball. Oh, well. You know, he was born in New Jersey and he died in New York. I wonder if he ever saw the West at all. The Cowboys' Christmas Ball. I hope you have something nearly half as grand going on. From Amboy to Zyzix and across the Great Mojave Wilderness, this is Desert Oracle Radio, broadcasting from Joshua Tree on Z1077 KCDZ FM on your car radio. This show is supported by good listeners like you at DesertOracle.com or Patreon.com/Desert Oracle. Speaking of, thanks to David D. in the OC and also to Wendy W. up in San Francisco for the nice holiday treats. And thanks to Red, Blue, Black, Silver for the Christmastide soundscapes. You can hear more of him at Bandcamp. Just look up Red, Blue, Black, Silver, spelled like it sounds. Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a real nice holiday week. And good night from the Voice of the Desert.
It's the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay, broadcasting on KGVM 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, and streaming at kgvm.org. Our next offering from Ken Lane was released December 23rd, 2020. Remember that time? Here is A Desert Christmas.
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Well, it's nice to be with you on this Christmas night in the desert. Even though some of us have been having kind of a hard time, I mean, I've been kind of having a hard time too. With the point of it all, you know? I got a tree and everything. Listening to Lux Interior's Christmas playlist. Trying to do the right thing in the world. But you look around sometimes and think, good Lord, is this what we're supposed to be doing with our lives? Is this peak life on Earth, sitting in a drive-thru line on a conference call? All the other animals seem to be enjoying themselves. I saw a half dozen ravens flapping around the neighbor's trash yesterday morning because one of the bags was sticking out from under the lid. Never seen the ravens so delighted. Santa came early, boys. Sometimes, well, we wake up and we look around and we sort of nod in agreement with ourselves because it looks like we're guilty as charged. Like, what's the purpose? What's the point? Why is it all so dull? Why is it all so much of a drag so much of the time? Oh, but it's not the time for all that kind of nonsense. Not now, not yet. Let's save that for January. Because this is the time of year to sort of look back. Look back in anger. No, look back in... You know, I picked up the Bible the other day to see if there was any advice about how to deal with Christmas time in a bad year. And you know, there's not a word about Christmas and the whole thing. Maybe I got a bum copy. Reader's Digest, condensed edition. Guess I've just been shuffling around, trying to keep a low profile. Avoiding the news because it all sounds like parents yelling at each other. Wishing for some magic and charm while a dry winter's night falls upon the desert. But low down all the same, low down, so low down, you kinda wanna donate yourself over at the Angel's View thrift store. No, it's alright, I'll walk myself in. Sit yourself down between a wood grain particle board bookshelf and a floral print classic 1960s TV tray wrapped up in cellophane tape. Hey, how much for the TV tray? Optimistic to the last. Thinking about a Swanson's holiday dinner. Roasted turkey slices with real gravy, carrots and peas, peach cobbler over by the mashed potatoes. Just getting into the Christmas spirit. most beautiful Christmas I remember was up in Cottonwood Canyon. Way up on the north side of Death Valley. Camped out under this limestone overhang. Stars so bright you could use them to walk by in the dark. A campfire in the backcountry back when you could do that. I think it was Christmas or solstice, one or the other, same difference. The Christmas story is a solstice story. The shortest day and the longest night. We've been celebrating it since the Neolithic times, at least. The new beer and the new wine was ready, as was the crop of intoxicating power plants. And it was time for a last feast before a long, lean winter. A time of generosity, of cheer, of love, a time of reversals, of comedy, of cold weather chaos. Kings and queens served the servants. The cooks at the monastery stomped around with orange peels for eyeglasses, reading nonsense from upside-down Bibles. Slaves whipped their masters, and their masters enjoyed that more than just about anything. The boss presented a gift to the worker who could take it all at any time. But with enough good cheer, the boss might be the boss for another year. Maybe another generation. I remember a holiday party at a newspaper I used to work at long ago. Oh, the good cheer was a-flowing. And many flirtations were consummated in the old newsroom, which had just been replaced by a gray and ugly hall of cubicles and networked computers and sorrow. The next year, my last year with the organization, they went to a strictly daytime cookies and punch affair. A few years later, the whole enterprise had collapsed, gone forever. You can't even find it on the internet. This is Desert Oracle Radio, and I'm your host, Ken Lane. What is Red, Blue, Black, Silver doing back there? He said something about bringing in a jug band. I didn't know he was going to empty all the jugs himself. We're just out here under the meager shelter of this studs and slab homesteader cabin. It's got a lot of potential, but it sure is cold tonight. But we got our solar Christmas lights blinking around the baked old 2x4s. Only one of those buckets has the eggnog, by the way. I hope you're keeping a good social distance like we are. Red, Blue, Black, Silver is like that all the time. With about 10 feet of musical instruments and electronics and amplifiers all around him. I don't even know for sure if he's still in there. But if he is, that's who made all this nice holiday music tonight. Red, Blue, Black, Silver. And our friend Carl Young joining us this Christmas night on the bass guitar. So we hope you're doing the best you can. And remember, you don't have to do the social distancing thing if you're about to get lucky and do the holiday quarantine. The holiday quarantine, 10 days and nights of absolute winter bliss. Nobody gets in or out unless they're dropping off pizza or liquor or something. 'Tis the season. And then you never see each other again after that. But you'll always remember it. I hope they've got some romantic DVDs at the Airbnb, some Christmas classics. Home Alone 4 or something. When the kid's like 30 years old. Because the Wi-Fi's out and you better not pout. Might have to pull out the board games, the Trivial Pursuit with all the good cards missing, poker with 7 jokers and 3 aces. Texting Christmas emojis to your far-flung loved ones. Sending Roblox codes to your little cousins in Florida. I guess I should get this. Hello, Desert Oracle Radio.
Hi, Ken, you there?
I'm here. Who's this?
This is Anna Merlin. How you doing?
Well, thanks for calling in. You have a good solstice?
I love to call in. Yeah, I had a really good solstice, actually. Thank you. You know, from here on out, it's just gets lighter every day, and we'll try not to read too much metaphor into that.
Yeah, because that might disappoint.
It might.
At least it's winter now. Astronomical start of the new year.
Thank God.
What are you doing for the holidays? So you having any parties?
God, no.
Oh, we're still in the thing.
I'm gonna tell you a story about what I'm not gonna be doing. And what I hope to be doing this time next year, if you don't mind.
Oh, we have time. Let me just hand over another drink to Red, Blue, Black, Silver here.
And yeah, that sounds good.
We made up some eggnog.
Wow, did you spike it?
Oh, yeah. It's about 65% hard alcohol. We got some rum, we got some brandy, we got some Kentucky bourbon.
That's what I like to
some
hear.
Listerine.
The Long Island iced tea of eggnog.
Yeah, it's unclear if eggs were even involved or nog.
No, absolutely not.
But it's very festive. It's got the nutmeg whatever you put on the top of it.
And, I love that.
It's nice to mess up everything at this time of year so that you can make some treats. Tell us where you had your first winter holidays that you remember.
My first winter holidays that I remember, and pretty much every winter holiday of my life, with a few rare exceptions, was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I'm from. And, you know, I don't think people know this, or I didn't realize how few people know this until I left New Mexico and I moved around and I moved to places like New York. But, you know, we have a really cherished tradition on Christmas Eve every year, which is we go outside and we walk down to kind of a fancy part of town and we look at a bunch of paper bags filled with sand that have a candle in them.
It's the most beautiful sight I think I've ever seen. And they're called...
Well, so here's the thing. We call them farolitos, which is correct. And people in Albuquerque call them luminarias because they're very confused and we feel bad for them.
So it's actually an in-state rivalry over these terms.
Yes, and I did not know this, but it has been an argument for so long that in 1969, the New Mexico House of Representatives passed a measure declaring that both words are equally correct for the bag full of sand with a candle in it, that you can call it a farolito or a luminaria, and both is, like, fine.
That's another compromise nobody likes.
Nobody likes it, and everybody's mad. But, you know, typically what we do every year, and what I cannot do this year, which is breaking my heart, is on Christmas Eve afternoon, my family has a party. My mom makes vegetarian pozole because I don't eat meat, and I make a bean dip that is delicious and that I only make on Christmas Eve and refuse to make any other time because that would be wrong. And we invite a bunch of people over and we feed them and we give them drinks, and then they sort of totter away down the very steep hill that we live on, and then we all go look at the farolitos, and then we come home and go to bed, and that's it.
That sounds beautiful.
It is a beautiful night, and this year it's not going to happen. because it shouldn't. And so people are going to drive. People are apparently going to drive through the Farolitos.
So you, you booze up, and then you get in the car, and then you head for the pedestrian plaza.
Unfortunately, that would be a very New Mexican way to do it. I'm hoping that's not what people do.
Let's hope.
But, you know, New Mexicans have a thing for fire. We like it. Our second most cherished tradition is in Santa Fe is burning a giant 50-foot puppet every September to get rid of our woes.
What is the name of it? Because there are similar burning your troubles festivities around the world. What is this one called?
It's called Zozobra. A couple months leading up to it, a team of volunteers build him. And while he's being built, people come in and they stuff their woes and their worries into him on little slips of paper. And so then he's burned during Fiesta, which is a holiday that we don't need to talk about, but he's burned. And so then on a night in September, as part of a longer holiday called Fiesta, that has a very racist history, we don't need to talk about that, he gets burned and fire dancers dance around him and somebody actually voices him. And so he moans in agony the whole time he's being burned. It's very disturbing.
That sounds like a lot of fun for the kids, especially.
We loved it. We loved it so much. There was literally nothing I ever got more excited about than Zozobra and Christmas Eve. It is a miracle that I'm not a pyromaniac.
Do you know the origin of the name of the creature that's burnt?
Zozobra? Oh, Zozobra means distress. And so he, you know, he embodies gloom. He embodies distress. The other name for him is Old Man Gloom. So this idea is that when you burn him, you're burning your distress. You're burning the worries of the last year.
And I would imagine that people would have a lot of notes for 2020.
People have a lot of notes. So this year, he did burn on schedule, but obviously nobody was allowed to come. Usually it's like a big crowd. So they burned him on live stream, and you could submit a note via the internet. And I burned a few.
Were they anonymous?
I don't know. I think they probably were. I would imagine so. And so I didn't realize that other places did this until I went to Cuba, because they do a version of it on New Year's Eve, where folks build effigies in the street and then they set fire to them at midnight. So I was in Cuba for New Year's Eve a few years ago, and we were walking around Havana real late at night and ran on one of these effigies and were admiring it. And the family who built it came out and introduced themselves to us and spent the next 4 hours feeding us creme de menthe and various fried delicacies. And then at midnight, we set this guy on fire.
It's a good tradition. We have something like that in Joshua Tree. We did it last year. Red, blue, black, silver over here. And I got to do the sort of play-by-play when they burnt the devil.
Wow.
And it was very...
Did he burn?
Oh, yeah. A big paper mache devil. And
yep.
You work on him for a couple of weeks. And then you put him into the firebox. You kind of feel bad for it a little bit because of wildfire troubles and regulations. You can't just tie it to a pole like you do with a witch or something or a bad pope and light it on fire from underneath. Instead, it's got to be very safe. It's got to be inside like a cage and perimeters and whatnot. Safety. Everyone's got to be very safe at all times to prevent anything from happening.
Right.
That's why we have limited capacity here in the cocktail lounge tonight, where we're doing the show up here in North Joshua Tree, and we turned off half the neon. We're trying to blend in as much as possible. So the Zozobra, is it a free event?
No, they charge money. It's a charity event, and it's actually. I was the recipient of the charity.
So Zozobra is a benefit for Anna Merlin.
Zozobra is run by the Kiwanis Club, and they do a scholarship for college textbooks. So Zozobra paid for my college textbooks.
No kidding.
Yeah, not just mine, of course, other people's too. But yes, I had the most New Mexican possible scholarship, which is the one sponsored by the large devil thing puppet burning in anguish.
You're kind of a lifelong brand ambassador for that.
Yeah, that's right. I absolutely am.
It's a good thing to be doing. All right. Well, thanks for calling us on Christmas night.
On Christmas night, no less. It was a pleasure. You know, I have a very packed and busy schedule of, you know, parties and events and just breathing on my family and friends.
Tell us a good story of yours, a recent story of yours that people should read on the day after Christmas.
I just wrote a story with my editor about a charity that claims to fight human trafficking that may not be what it seems.
And this will be in Vice?
Yes.
On Vice? I never know.
Sure.
Is it on a website or in a website?
I guess it's on a website. It'll be on vice.com. You know, you can go find it.
All right. We'll link that on the Desert Oracle Radio webpage.
Well, okay.
Thank you for calling and have a good rest of your Christmas. I guess we're going to have a new year. I hope to God we can come up with something better.
I hope so. That would be nice. Merry Christmas, Ken.
To you too. Bye. You don't need to be part of this or that religion to enjoy the winter holidays. We all get winter solstice. We all have our traditions we grew up with or adopted later. So whether it's Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Snakesgiving. No, so this is not the time of year for Snakesgiving. Snakesgiving has come and gone. The snakes are in the ground for a little while. But you can enjoy the gift-giving and the beautiful symbols of this time of year. Because it is symbolic. They are symbols. They can mean something if you want them to. It's not like a utility bill that still comes in the mail no matter how many times you try to switch to e-billing. The sun, our bright star, our bringer of life to our planet, finally comes back. Days become longer. Green shoots in the sand. Beautiful birds arriving because the desert winter is a beautiful one. The phainopeplas have come back. The beautiful winter birds that visit us and feast upon the desert mistletoe. So thanks for spending some of your holiday with us. Just me and Red, Blue, Black, Silver. Meg over in the subscriptions department, wherever that is. And Carl Young, thanks for joining us with your bass guitar. And that's all right. I suppose it's good enough. Wood for the stove. The coyotes singing their coyote carols. Nobody trying to repossess the homesteader cabin at the moment. Well, we might even get a little dusting of snow. Wouldn't that be nice on this Christmas night? From Amboy to Zizek's, and across the Great Mojave Wilderness, and the whole American Southwest. This has been Desert Oracle Radio. We broadcast on Friday nights from our home base, KCDZ 107.7 FM in Joshua Tree. That website we talked about is desertoracle.com. Happy solstice, happy Christmas, and happy New Year to you all. Oh, and you know what I hear? That's the voice of the desert out there.
Have a wonderful winter holiday, celebrating with friends and family this week. Our background audio today has been Release from Red, Blue, Black, Silver's 2018 Sustain Collection. Thanks to Red, Blue, Black, Silver and to Ken Lane for sharing their work on Desert Oracle Radio. I am so grateful for my fellow volunteers, for the supporters and underwriters of KGVM, and for you, dear listener. This program broadcasts on the air at 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgvm.org at 7 Sunday nights and 9 Monday mornings. Our past Desert Oracle Radio replay episodes are archived for you on the kgvm.org website. I'll be back next week with some thoughts for the new year. Until then, pray for more snow. Watch the skies. Keep doing good things. Stay well and sweet dreams. I have some snow to shovel now, so I'll see you next week.